everybody, here and far away, all of our friends at home, friends afar, friends abroad, and some broads we know. It's Talking Games with, if you can't tell, this is Clayton again. Without Kellen or Tim here to rein me in, I have decided to make yet another attempt at an episode where I bring on two guests. This week it's Seth Owens from last week, whose name I couldn't remember, and Nicole Vespa. Yay!
Yes.
Whose name I do remember. How are you guys doing?
Good. Good.
Very good.
Full. Really. Really good.
Yeah, we're just back from a ramen adventure to Strings Ramen, this week's sponsor, in so much as we ate there.
We ate there and it was
full price.
It was good. You should eat there.
Yeah, go check it out. And when next time you're in Chinatown, which if you live in Chicago, it's probably not that often. So we wanted to do another episode with Seth while he was in town. And Seth, I know we just talked about this on the last episode, but what are you playing right now?
So I'm still playing the Sentinels of the Multiverse and playing tons of it. And in particular, the digital version, which is new and is wonderful because you can play solo, control all four characters. Well, I have 3 to 5, actually. And it's just super awesome.
And Seth did such a great job selling that last time that I wound up buying it and the Season 1 Pass, and I also love it. So I'm really getting a lot of enjoyment out of that. I think everyone should go check it out right now. Turn off this podcast. Go do it. Nicole, what are you playing right now? Aside from Spelunky.
You guys, Spelunky? I don't know whether it's a good or bad thing that I'm still playing so much Spelunky, but I got the furthest I've ever gotten recently, and I did make it to Yama, and, like, immediately died because a skull fell on my head. So, you know, there's that. But I was really excited to make it that far, so I didn't even care that I died. But I don't know what the next step is. Like, if I actually do beat Yama, if I'll just be like, fuck Spelunky, I'm never going to play it again now. Or what? I don't know. There might be more.
Man. We'll have to check in with you later to find out what happened.
Yeah, in like 6 more months, I might beat Yama, so, you know.
Right. Next time you're allowed on the podcast. I am still... So I'm actually playing Sentinels of the Multiverse more than anything else because I just picked it up and it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So it also is way more challenging when people don't forget the rules sometimes. The computer always knows that you fucked up and will punish you for it. Whereas your friends might be like, let's forget it. It's okay. That doesn't happen so much in the electronic version. So I've been getting killed a lot.
Yeah. No, a lot more dying, which, is actually fun. That sounds like it wouldn't be, but it does. I think it makes you a better player, so.
Well, you definitely learn what not to do from those times you die.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that I have not played the computer version, but I have played the card game many a time, and I feel like I do remember the games where I lose more than I remember the ones that I've won, because then it's like, what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
Exactly. What did we do wrong, too?
Yeah.
And whereas in the electronic version, you have no one to blame but yourself, because you, you control everything, you should be able to run it, but you just feel like, God fucking damn it, I did something wrong, and I gotta go back and figure out what it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For me, it's been trying to learn Absolute Zero has been very interesting and a lot more fun and more rewarding.
Yeah. I think it really highlights, like, their playing styles. Like, when you're forced to play with more characters that you would maybe choose to skip over because, like, immediately that, like, their style isn't apparent just from looking at their deck, you kind of appreciate how much thought goes into the development of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Cards like Bunker are great, like the mode cards, you know, like they can take a little while to develop and really get going, but once they do, it's really neat to, like, shift between all of them. Or, like, Fanatic, you know, the religious martyr, like the idea of self-sacrifice and drawing damage to yourself and dying and being resurrected is wonderful.
Yeah, and it's a little more kind of like, you can appreciate it when you're doing it for yourself, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's like, wow, next time someone plays Fanatic, I'm going to have to thank them privately. Not privately. That's a weird thing to say.
Yeah, to take them aside after the game and be like, you played Fnatic.
You really saved me.
Thank you.
You really saved our bacon.
Appreciate what you did. I didn't want to tell everybody.
Can you come into the kitchen for a moment? I mean, like, I don't have more beer. I don't have more food for you, but thank you.
It might be a nice text message to send halfway through the game.
Before the game's even over.
Thanks for playing Fnatic. I really appreciate what you brought.
What if you just wrote a cryptic,
meet me in the kitchen after this.
Thank you. And then they're just like, why would you text me while we're all together in a room?
Yeah, that would be a disconcerting text to get in any situation.
All right, well, if Tim's not listening to this podcast, that's something we should all do to him during another Sentinels game.
Absolutely. I think anyone should text Tim right now and say thank you, just to freak him out.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing Tim is listening to these podcasts religiously to make sure I'm not fucking up. So right now, he's going to hate this episode where I opened with a crazy monologue. But anyway, we're just racing through the first topic because there's something more interesting that Seth came up with for us to talk about, which is video game villains.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, let's do it.
Or is that not what
absolutely.
You...
Absolutely. Okay. That's a great topic. No,
yeah, hold on.
It's not
the topic, then we can talk about something else.
It's that topic that I had never discussed before, and Clayton just threw at me, and we're rolling.
That's all right. Oh my God. It's the topic I came up with and wanted to pin to Seth and pretend he can't do it when we're on the air, guys. This is live.
He's texting me threats right now that I won't read aloud.
I will make you play for that. If you do not.
And then I will thank you. Via text.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's vibrating right now. Villains are great. I feel like villains, yeah, more people need to appreciate a good villain because a good villain makes a good hero. You know, you need that challenge, you need something to overcome. And also, like, their motivation is like, really key for, like, you know, world development, world building. So...
And I think you kind of touched on it, like, someone you want to defeat is usually the big key there, right? I mean...
Yeah.
Because if it's somebody who you're like... I mean, because you do sympathize or empathize with the best villains, but at the same time you're like, but I do have to stop them. Like, the threat is very real and palpable for the best villains.
Yeah.
Nicole, you look like you have nothing to say, so I'll keep talking.
I have no opinion about villains. No, that's not true. For some reason I was just thinking about some of the more, basic villains you're introduced to in games, like, say your Mario games, where it's just, like, always Bowser, always stealing a princess, always going to, like, another castle type of situation. Right. Where,
It's Super Mario RPG, where it's Smithy, a giant sword, is the bad guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
Have you ever played that?
Oh, no. So good. Yes.
That's great.
I've not played that.
It's one of the first RPGs I ever played.
Yeah, at one point, spoiler alert, Bowser joins your party, and you get to use him as one of your, you know, party members and switch them out if you want. But why would you?
And then you get to take him to Mario Party.
I assume so. I don't know.
Yeah.
At the end of the game, you all go to Mario Party, and it's like, what will they get into next?
We'll all break these controllers.
Yeah. Mario will return in Mario Party.
Yeah, Mario Office Party. Mario Christmas Party. Yeah. They're,
Mario Christmas Party, where they make Peach and Daisy make out. It's like, oh, you two are into the mistletoe. Hey, you gotta do it. The boss is here.
Okay, I guess.
I don't think that's the most accurate rendition of office parties, but it's what I picture.
With the, yeah.
I mean, at every.
I think Toad would get wasted and start getting overly emotional, telling people it's insecure.
Yeah.
That's what I imagine.
Yeah, like I shouldn't be a playable character.
It's just, nobody likes me. No. You don't have to lie. It's true. Yeah. No one picks me.
Yeah, and Nicole's doing the Toad voice.
And I'm like, no one likes me. Why? He's just like drinking punch. Tiny.
He's complaining like Shy Guy.
Shy Guy's just shrugging.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you, man.
Shy Guy's looking around like, someone get me out of here, please.
Yeah, and then that like...
Hey, Koopa Troop!
That cloud films everything. It's like overhead kind of backing away slowly.
What's that guy's name? Lukatu?
Is that? I don't know.
It starts with an L. Yeah. So it could be
Locust.
Locust, yeah.
It's a plague of locusts.
Lucy. Yeah. The Scarlett Johansson movie.
He only uses 10% of his brain at first. But then when he gets that camera, he uses 100% of his brain and can influence other people. That's a stupid fucking premise for
him. And he gets telekinesis then, right? Yeah. It's like Phenomenon.
Yeah, that's how the brain works. If you use 100% of your brain, you can fucking move objects with your mind.
Yep. That's how it works.
Yep.
That's the same in Phenomenon and Powder. It's in movies.
Yep.
As with the last episode, I'm outvoted, so I have to agree.
This is fact.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Two people have said this is fact.
Yeah.
It's over.
It's fact.
What are some favorite villains? I mean, Nicole, you brought up Bowser, but...
Oh, he's not even a favorite villain.
He's a goofy
villain.
Dumb villain, right?
I feel like you can handle a villain like that, right, where it's like... He's evil, but I mean, more than that, he's just more an obstacle and more just the final boss. There's not really a lot of narrative there of like, oh, Bowser, mm-hmm. He's just a big lizard.
He has had a really interesting evolution.
With a turtle shell.
Speaking of all of the, like, the shy guy, the, you know, Koopa Troopa, like, his weird little army is really neat and, like, what his army and, like, Legion of Darkness or whatever has become is really hilarious. You know, it's these weird little guys and then Jason masks that are actually kind of cute.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, all the Bowser children. It's like he's sicking his children after, like, Mario now, too.
Yeah.
So, like, Mario's just bizarre, but, I mean, like, yeah, there's kind of, like, a wink and a nod all the time, you know, since he doesn't have that really complex motivation. It's really basic. So I think the writing teams... And development teams, like, as it's gone along and gotten bigger, have made more of an effort to be like, haha, we know that this is, you know, just silly.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember.
Which kind of fleshes them out a little bit in its own way.
There was this article or like, a clip that I think probably Clayton sent to me that was one about how different villains are made or how they're kind of two different types. There's sort of the one who's just the obstacle or the boss fight, much like Bowser would be, and then there's the one that's more like, integral to some narrative and also like a huge part of the character development. And I guess that's probably more an RPG type of trope where it's like, you have this elaborate backstory or reason for the villain to be doing what he's doing.
Yeah. The boss from Metal Gear Solid 3 comes to mind as sort of like the pinnacle of like, literally a boss, but, also, you know, she is, your kind of mentor. There's a little bit of the, you know, like, Obi-Wan Kenobi thing of like, she taught you everything. And now, she's your like greatest enemy and her motivation's super kind of like, it seems like she's really conflicted and like she doesn't want to be doing it. And by the end, you kind of find out that she was like, again, spoiler alert, super deep cover agent who was basically carrying out a mission the whole time. But because of what happened and everything that sort of got involved, she knew she would have to die in the end and be killed by you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, that's crazy. I mean, it is. It's super nuts. But it also is like, what a sad, kind of tragic hero who really turns into the villain because she has to play that role.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to think of other, like, very story-based villains. And I guess I'm also thinking of when I played Ni No Kuni, which was great. You have this this evil guy, Shahar, I believe. It's been a while since I played. So, listeners, if I am saying the name wrong, I'm not usually on the podcast, so you can't send me feedback.
Yeah, just leave the feedback on our wall, and we'll be happy to pass it along or ignore it, depending on if we see it.
But yeah, that was a character, that was an evil, that was a villain who felt very much like somebody who was there to help the hero grow, and, but by the end, I don't know, I don't want to spoil anything about him if you haven't played the game, it's a great game, but I always think it's interesting when there comes a point where it's like, oh, really the story is more about someone's growth or overcoming something in themselves versus just the like, I beat the villain and now he's dead. Yay.
Yeah.
Type of situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, those are the best games because it's also you, the player, kind of doing that to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got better and I got, like, strong enough, not just my character, but, like, me personally. Like, I overcame whatever, like, obstacles to defeat this thing, be it my lack of skill or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sort of like in Spelunky, that's really the whole story is you getting better at the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are, like, bosses, but, I mean, really, it's not like there's some big thing like, oh, Olmec stole my girlfriend, I gotta go punch him in the face. Although that'd be pretty funny if that happened. He's a giant.
I mean, there are damsels
statue
in there, so maybe he stole
my
multiple
pug
girlfriends. Yeah. Yeah, he stole your pug.
Stop stealing my
That's
pug.
The most personal crime. Yeah. He took my best friend.
Yeah.
And keeps putting him deeper and deeper in this cave.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I like, I think Wesker, like Albert Wesker from Resident Evil, has always been like a big favorite of mine, which is a little difficult actually. So a lot of the, you know, initially the kind of Resident Evil, like he's evil and you don't really know why, and there's a lot of like intrigue there and like figuring out what his motivation is. And mm-hmm. I feel like by the time they finally had fleshed it out, it actually didn't live up to the legacy, but they did that over the course of so many games that you're just this whole time like, why is he evil? Like, what is happening? Like,
yeah, what did the world do
like,
to him?
Yeah, why would you want to sell out your team? And like, what? Like, are you a good guy? Like, do you have some motive that's like going to justify this nonsense? Or, and you know, I mean, like, it doesn't really. It kind of becomes more of this kind of Magneto-y, like, I'm this evolved being, god creature thing that, you know, nothing deserves to live with me, which is kind of tired.
Yeah, that's a very old trope now, mm-hmm. like, the neo-Nazis,
yeah,
sort of, like,
exactly.
I'm the Superman or whatever.
Yeah, but I feel like for so much of him being a character, that's fairly new.
Yeah.
So for a long time it was just like, what is your motivation? You're just this evil thing and no one knows why, and that was a really strong selling point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's almost, you prefer that if they almost mm-hmm. never paid it off.
Yeah.
There are a few villains where you don't totally get the payoff, like you don't get the full backstory, but you get mm-hmm. enough of a glimpse of it. You're like, okay, something happened to this guy and made him this fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is probably closer to how real life is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, it's not one event or whatever.
Yeah, it's not
one
event, it's a process. And at the end, the evil guy is going to be like, let me tell you why I do everything that I do.
Yeah,
in
exactly.
a monologue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, sometimes it is, I mean, most of the time it is that kind of shit where it's like, let me explain my whole plan. And
yeah.
Like, all right, fine, whatever, like a Bond villain. And I think it would be, I think it's more, it's just a stronger choice when it's like, all right, this guy just wants something that is totally at odds with the rest of the world or the rest of the universe or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel kind of weird for being like the, like, symbol of the status quo to, like, take out the rogue element. But
yeah.
That's a lot of the time what it is in games, is
you're
sort of restoring the order. Yeah.
Yeah. That said, I do have a soft spot for the kind of crazed, powerful villains that are trying to end the world in some really dramatic fashion, in which all of the other characters, like, even, you know, the non-playable characters, reference this event about to happen, and then they're fearful of it. I think that helps flesh out, like, how real the threat is. Sometimes it's just kind of like, you know, they're going to blow up the world or whatever, and no one really knows about it, and there's not that impending sense of dread, but, like, you know, the Majora's Mask, Big Moon, like, literally getting larger in the sky with its terrifying face is awesome, because by the time it's, you know, the end, it's just, like, looming over you, and there's this huge sense of urgency, and, like, the music speeding up and getting all crazy, and that timer is like counting down, running faster and faster. Or like Sephiroth, you know, is a great Final Fantasy villain, complicated.
Yeah.
A little bit of the Magneto thing happening there too, like the Genova, my mother, like what am I, you know, everything must die, whatever. But still this, you know, I'm gonna destroy the world in this crazed way, I'm gonna pull this meteor thing to hit the planet, and then everybody just being like, is there a reason to live, is there hope?
Yeah, exactly.
What was the deal with Lavos again in Chrono Trigger? Without spoiling the very end, because I still haven't beaten it,
sure.
Guys, I still haven't beaten it. I will someday.
Lavos, if memory serves, is like an alien spawn that flies through space, finds planets that are habitable, burrows beneath the Earth to basically be right next to the Earth's core where it's warm, so he can, like, draw power from the Earth. Once he gets powerful enough, he erupts and, like, wipes out all life. Mm-hmm. And moves on to the next planet. Not unlike the aliens from Independence Day.
Yep. Or from
another
the
kind
Tom
of tire
Cruise
trope.
One, too, where they're, like, kind of already on the planet.
Oh,
like,
War
of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Yep.
It's,
or the aliens from Signs.
No, yeah, the aliens from like every fucking
from every alien movie.
Yeah, it's like this is a migratory monster race that comes here to destroy everything and then move on, which I think is a tired trope in and of itself. What was interesting with Lavos was he seemed to have this like effect on time travel, which allows you to travel through time in Chrono Trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to give the ending away, but it's like, why his reason for doing that, like, does he have a reason? Like, why, you know, why would he want to, like, see you go through time, you know, like,
sure.
to go through
yeah.
the charade? Is he, like, the Reapers or whatever in the Mass Effect series, where he just wants to, like, see, you know, like, you get really powerful so he can take your technology or whatever? Yeah, it's like,
yeah.
that's a question that, as for you to answer, Nicole,
yeah.
since you haven't finished the game.
Yeah, no, I need to answer it. I just also thought of a secondary villain who's really dumb from that game, who I love. Ozzy, the guy.
Oh,
who's
yeah.
just like, sick these things, and then he just falls to the floor.
Yeah, he's like a tertiary villain. Like, he's pretty...
Oh, I love villains like that that
like
are just
he's secondary
of...
to the secondary
yeah,
villain.
Yeah, yeah. Is he one of, like, Magus's under things?
He's Magus's,
under,
like,
underthings?
Main general. Underthing, if you will.
Underlings, underthings, underwear. Ozzy was basically going around just shielding Magus as underwear. That was his job.
Yeah.
And that's all he did.
If you haven't played the game, go
he's
check
an
it out.
Thing. An under thing.
No, yeah, he was Magus's head general, I guess lead general, even though he seemed completely incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ozzy serves that purpose that you see of, like, the henchmen, the, like, dumb henchmen who you see in a lot of, especially JRPGs, they are
yeah,
everywhere.
Yeah. Yep.
Lots of dumb henchmen.
Yeah. Like, the Turks in,
yep,
Final Fantasy VII.
Yep.
Yeah, these guys are like...
The business suits, like the weird sunglasses, right?
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
At times they're like badass, and the other times they are complete imbeciles.
Buffoons, yeah. Yeah.
I always love a good imbecile villain, though, where you're just like, oh, this is... Thank you for not taking yourself too seriously right
well,
now.
That's what makes villains fun, is that there's so many different, like, elements that you associate with a villain, you know, the kind of bumbling sidekick... being part of it, than the weird little, just, your underling agents, kind of, like, the people.
Or even your most, like, basic villain. It's, like, the Goombas in Mario.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
just the, like,
the
very
yeah.
first thing that could hurt you, and you're just like, this, it's just walking around, it will just hurt you if you
don't. Yeah, and why do you work for this giant lizard thing?
Yeah, what do you get out of this?
Well, where
dude?
Do you come from? What is he doing to you? Like, are they, is
did
he
exploiting
you? Or, yeah,
to live?
Did he lie to you? Did he spread propaganda about Mario in your, village?
Yeah.
This Italian plumber is coming to kill your children.
And steal all of the coins that we leave laying out in lines.
Not my coins. I'm going to go enlist.
Yeah.
I think Bowser's kids are also those kind of bumbling,
yeah.
like, just fuck up, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
henchmen.
I'll show you. Oh, I
minor fell. Bosses, yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna do this differently than my brother. I don't have a rotating platform. My platform moves up and down.
and the new one's like, what, the girl who's his daughter, who's, I can't
Wendy?
Remember.
Wendy?
Wendy,
yep.
Wendy
throws like shurikens Wendy. At you, and I'm like, is she like a ninja? What is
that? That
like,
bow. Did she throw
going?
That bow on her head, too?
Yeah,
she
throw
I don't
bangles?
Think she throws the bow.
Oh, yeah, she does have some great, they all have great bangles, yeah. Oh, that's a good aesthetic. We should talk about villain aesthetic, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Big, big, big important part of liking a villain.
Yeah.
They have to look badass, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Or just like a,
well, yeah, because I feel like there are, and a moment isn't coming to mind at the right now, but when you, there's somebody who's super built up, and then the big reveal is like, oh, what? This isn't threatening or even scary.
Yeah.
I guess, all right, I'll just kill this thing now.
Yeah, it's just like some dude in armor.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like a letdown because you're like, come on, like big crazy monster, which mm-hmm. usually is like the like now you see my final form and they turn into a giant monster and you're like, oh fuck yeah, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
But yeah, most villains I feel like just wear black, like not super interesting in their first form if they have multiple forms.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, it's just kind of funny that, you know, like the, why are people not more suspicious, I guess?
Yeah.
But are constantly wearing black and...
It's like, this is Sephiroth, he's the best soldier there is. Only wears black, way more powerful than everyone else.
Yeah, you'd think that townspeople...
Silver hair.
Like, clued in that something's off and they're like, oh shit got all fucked up right now. Maybe we shouldn't just go about our day-to-day lives as if nothing is happening.
Yeah, it's like, hey, this fucking giant lizard monster lives in the castle now.
Or like in Ocarina of Time, for example, like the time change between like from being a kid to being an adult, how you mm-hmm. come back and the entire world is completely fucked up in most places, but then you'll like enter Kakariko Village and they're still playing the like lazy windmill music and you're like, are these people unaware that the like volcano is erupting in evil flames right now? Like, is no one worried about this?
Along the same lines, in that same game, when you see Ganondorf, he's like meeting the king or whatever, and it's like, he's the most evil looking fucker I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
he looks like pure fucking monstrosity, and it's just like, oh, that's Sir Ganondorf.
Yeah, you're like, no one.
Props to the Helians for being non-judgmental based on him having like gray skin and red hair and eyes and being like, let's put him in a position of power.
Yeah, nothing about him seems shady.
He's like, hey, show us your Triforce, man. This shit's awesome.
He's the only male Gerudo in hundreds of years and they're like a legion of female
thieves. Thieves and warriors.
Yeah not well liked.
We should put him in charge of something.
Yeah. You can be the princess's bodyguard. You make sure no one steals her, okay?
That said, Ganon is a pretty great villain, too.
I mean, usually there are some good transformations with him as far as, like, as a final boss battle. Like, he's pretty great because of all the different changes that he'll mm-hmm. go through. That's a satisfying game. You know, like, any of those games where you win in the end, you're like, yes, I beat him, finally!
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, is he, like, he's a wizard?
I think he's a totally sorcerer, clear. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a sorcerer.
But he also is, like, a
he can shapeshift,
fighter.
Obviously.
And he's just a good fighter, too.
Sort of a spell sword, if you will.
Yeah.
But don't worry, this 7-year-old can totally beat him.
That always kind of devalues it, doesn't it?
To be fair, the 7-year-old is hella tricked out by the time he gets there.
I mean, he is the hero of time. What can you do?
Yeah, the inventory he has by the time he makes it into those is kind of like, I almost feel for Ganondorf sometimes. Where like, I mean, a blessed tree wasn't giving him anything.
No, he was just poisoning the tree the whole time.
He had to work his way up from the bottom. I mean, you're
bootstraps.
Born in the desert with fucking nothing.
And
like,
here's Link.
Outcast.
Going to every town, having a girlfriend in every town, getting to just, like, skip 7 years, essentially, just to be like, okay, well, now you're just an adult.
Fuck you for just getting to teleport through puberty.
Yeah, no, he didn't have to go through awkward
moments. Are you kidding?
Like, you're like, now I look fine, and things aren't weird.
I've got some weird feelings about Sheik. I'm not totally sure what's going on.
Oh my god, that was one of my favorite things about Ocarina of Time is the, like, I think it's just because I played that game when I was, like, 16. I was like, there is so much sexual tension between Link and Sheik.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah.
Like, the Bolero of Fire, just go back and watch the animation.
The eye contact.
The eye contact, and then the, like, panning between them as Sheik teaches Link the Bolero of Fire. There is some sexual tension there.
Oh, yeah. No, and that
sounds amazing.
Yeah, the director's cut of that, he's teaching him hand jobs later, but they didn't make that into the...
They didn't make the Bolero.
The director's cut.
Yeah.
The
hand
90...
jobs, too.
An extra 90 minutes of gameplay, all hand jobs.
Exhausting.
Thank you for saving me.
Really
now I can be the Sage of Water. It's like, hey, you gonna thank me before I go? All right. Well,
Here's a hand job.
Here, I'll give you a hand job. All the other stages are going to be watching us.
We're going to have to do it inside this giant fish so no one can see.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Also, then if you think about it, now that we've added this layer of hand jobs from all of the seven stages, it's like then when Link first awakens as a, 17 or 18-year-old, he's awakened by Rauru.
Oh, no.
So, it's Rauru's like...
Rauru's like scary guidance counselor that would make a move on you where you're like, oh, God, who are you?
You are so young.
You've been waiting in this sacred realm for years.
You've been watching me sleep for 7 years.
It's like it's found a concrete place to find cheeseburgers or something.
Show me a videotape of what happened.
Well fed inside this sacred realm, for sure. Yeah.
What are they doing in the sacred realm? Just do they talk? Like, what do they talk about between Link doing things? They're just like, so,
Lake Hylia, that place is beautiful. You ever been there?
The world around us is becoming destroyed by that dude. I don't know what to do.
Guess we'll just hang out here in this crystal till we're all assembled.
So there's one element of that, in Ocarina of Time that has another villain trope that I like a lot, which is, the person that wants to do good that's, being controlled or, is being forced to be evil kind of against their will. So there's, the Gerudo, the sage of, mm-hmm. The spirit sage.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
By the witch. Oh, the witches. Witches!
The witches are great.
The witches are great! The witches are killer, yes. And then they become that whore witch.
There are a lot of
butterface wink at you. Yeah.
She's really hideous. Can we also talk about those great fairies and their weird sexual laughter?
That is upsetting. I don't think they're villains, though.
They're not villains. I just wanted to talk about them.
I just need to talk about them.
They were related to the witches in that they made me uncomfortable. All right.
But, any sort of a time where, and I'm blanking on other examples of this, but there are so many, and I'm sure, if we get
like the
momentum.
Or
somebody that's doing it, and they're, it's against their will, they're they don't want to be doing it, but they have some motivation.
That's a pretty big staple in Final Fantasy games, mm-hmm. I feel like. Even, Final Fantasy 2 or 4.
Sure,
whatever.
The earlier one, yeah.
Golbez, who is, the villain for mm-hmm. most of the game, he's a great villain.
Yeah.
Really, you do really hate him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, three quarters of the way through the game, you find out, oh, he's been possessed the whole time by this other guy who is the real villain. And you're like, that's... I always felt like it was kind of a letdown.
Sure.
That always feels like a little bit of a cop-out if you're introducing a new villain
the
way through the story.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, what were we fighting for this whole time?
Yeah.
And
the being completely possessed, I guess, more like brainwashed would be a better term for what I'm talking about. Where they have no control over their actions as opposed to, they're...
Mm-hmm.
Kind of silently suffering the whole time, unable to stop themselves. And,
mm-hmm.
I wish I could think of...
Because Golbez, he seems to be, totally, I don't know what's
going on. Yeah, he's just kind of, puppet. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's somewhere, when they finally snap out of it, they're just kind of, oh, God, what have I done? Or, just mm-hmm. kind of broken characters when they're done. And that's always...
Yeah, maybe Kerrigan from the StarCraft games. Or it's is she in control? Is she not in control? Who's controlling who there? You know?
Or I guess to use a Chrono Trigger thing, it's Magus is one of the big villains for a while, but then he can join your party at a certain point too.
Yeah, and he's not so much brainwashed, he's just hyper focused on a bigger thing than you and
mm-hmm.
than really, even the rest of the world,
mm-hmm.
the war and all that stuff is totally secondary to his ultimate goal, which is to find and kill Lavos, which is actually your goal, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of course, you don't find that out until after you fight him, but I think that is really interesting, too, the purely obsessed, or the misled, I think also.
Yeah, misled, yeah.
There's you may have played Legends of Dragoon, it's an older JRPG.
I have not.
It's a weird fucking game, and probably not that great, but you're sort of, main villain for most of the game is this guy Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even only half the game. But he's, this incredibly powerful swordsman, he's really tough. Like, you fight him in an unwinnable battle early on, and you're like, oh, okay, all right, mm-hmm. I get it. This guy's, like, impossible to kill. And when you actually do fight him for real, he's, like, ridiculous and super hard. And you're pursuing him for most of the game. Then you find out the whole time he's been working for someone else. Total JRPG bait and switch. You go, you find that guy, and then it turns out he was lying to Lloyd the whole time because he's trying to destroy the world. Lloyd thought he was trying to, like, you know, win freedom for his people or whatever. his race of winglies, I think they are. They're people with wings. Who are...
Oh, the Winglies.
Yeah, if you can believe it, a great name like Winglies, it's they like, what's their deal? Have they wings. Have wings. Well, fuck off. but yeah, I was like, and I always was like, I felt really bad for Lloyd, because it's like, he knew what he was doing was wrong, but he also thought it was for a greater purpose than just destroying the world. And at that point, he gets killed, which is also pretty badass. It's like, well, okay, this guy must be really tough, because he just wrecked the dude who gave me so much trouble, a la Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, I always find it, yeah, kind of sad when you have the villain who's like, I thought I was, you know, helping.
Doing
I thought
right
I was
thing.
Doing the right thing, yeah. Or the wrong thing for the right reasons.
Yeah.
There's just so many different types of villains that are great. I can really appreciate any different, like, you know, any different perspective as long as it's kind of done and they're really committed to it. I mean, even just, like, soulless bad guy that's just bad to be bad is fun, like, in the right setting. And maybe, like, Giovanni from Pokemon, like, it's just, like, you know, there's the bumbling Team Rocket element, like, it's this big organization, they keep doing this stupid thing, and they're dumb, and you're just like, how could this be so huge and successful, and you're all this dumb, and then you get to him, and he's, like, kind of a boss, you know, where you're like, oh, shit, he has his stuff under control, he's got these crazy, weird... kind of evil Pokemon also, like Weezings and stuff. You know, he uses like the sludge-themed, toxic-y, purple,
like,
poisonous kind
of... I picked the really ugly Pokemon that couldn't hang out with the, like, cute pet-looking ones.
Yeah, but then their most evolved forms look really hardcore, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like a Nidoking, which is, like, huge and crazy-looking, and all the other ones have these, like, little... scabby rat ones that are under-evolved and terrible, you know? And
yeah,
there's,
like,
the Persian, which is the really sexy mountain lion thing, and the other ones have that annoying Meowth. It's like, shut up and lost. Yeah, so, I mean, if it is just, like, the, you know, cool cucumber executive thing, that, you know, I think that happens a lot. It's cool when it's done, right?
Yeah. There's also been a rash of, like, government conspiracy villains.
Yeah.
Which, I think those are the ones I could probably do the most without, because I'm like, because there, it's always like, they get big monologues that are usually really fucking boring and super contrived. And so those are the ones where I'm like, oh, shut up. Like, just let me fight. have you ever played Metal Gear Solid Rising? There's a really tough one in there. The guy who basically, like, out of nowhere brings up 9/11, and it's like, I didn't need to, no!
I'm good, thanks.
Yeah. Well, also, just because, like, it inherently makes its own political statement that's just, you know, the ultimate evil act, you attacked America, kind of.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and also it's like,
I've
it leaves...
already can't.
It leaves a lot I know that there are games that's like literally just set in the real world with a few tweaks sort of thing, but there are times where it's just like, you know, this isn't open to interpretation in any context. It's just like, no, this is about how this one thing was bad.
Yeah.
What about the games where you sort of are the villain?
Oh, well, I love all the Grand Theft Auto games. I mean, like, for their own reasons, you know, they're pretty great. But, like, so, there's all sorts of awful, I mean, evil, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all sorts of really terrible things that you're doing in that game. So, I mean, I don't know how you don't consider yourself, you know, I mean, you're less bad than some of the other ones. But, I mean, you still have the freedom to be awful.
I think, when I think of, like, games where you're the villain, even though this might not be the explicit way they put it, like God of War, for example.
Oh, okay, sure.
Like, by the end, you're just, like, murdering all the gods, mm-hmm. basically just because you're, like, pissed at them.
Yeah.
And it's just like, how am I the good guy anymore? Yeah. Like, yeah. Just killing the sun god, and, like, you're, like, the sky gets all black, and it's, like, horrifying, and it's like, well, I'm wrecking the world, but I guess I'm getting revenge? I don't totally know.
Well, it's interesting, too, when you think about it. Like, there are times, like in Skyrim, in a game where it's, like, very open, there are some villains, but for the most part, the narrative's mostly about, like, you and what you choose to do.
Yeah.
I always thought it was interesting, and I never played a game this way, where people will just, like, essentially just have a day job. Like, they'll just hang around Whiterun sure. doing weird errands for people, and uh-huh. none of them will, like, do battle. But there's a part of it where it's, like, at what point is what you're doing good, and at what point are you just, like, killing a bunch of possessed skeletons in a cave? You know, it's yeah. like, they didn't yeah. ask for this either. Like, I know they're aggroing toward you, but there is the part of it where it's like,
you're in your cave! Yeah, get out!
You're a grave robber, yeah.
Yeah, isn't the most moral thing to do to, like, stop stealing shit that's not yours, and, like, stop, you know, going and do, you know, I mean, it'd be really boring to just be like, I'm just going to be an everyday citizen and try to live a good life and, you know, contribute to my 401k and hopefully send my kids to a good bard college yeah. and, you know.
But you do, you gain these ridiculous powers. It's like, why does it have to be me fighting a dragon, you know, when it seems like the more I do this, the more dragons are appearing anyway. Maybe I should just start, I learned how to heal a while ago. That yeah. looked really, I had
why
a terrible cough.
Why don't I just become, like, a doctor, you know, like, I just, like, set up a shop somewhere and just become, like, yeah, I think about all these people you run into who are just like, yeah, I've been running my shop for years and years, but here, I guess, take all of my shit.
Yeah.
You're like, okay.
You're telekinetic now. I mean, I don't stand a chance. Just rob it. Yeah.
Yeah, my life's work is null and void, but here, take all of my cool shit.
Yeah, let me buy this priceless jewel from you with all my life savings. Yeah. I'm never going to be able to sell this to anyone. Like, no one's going to buy this.
Or, like, when you're like, I'm just going to sell all these dragon bones. Like, you just leave a bunch of dragon bones at a shop?
Yeah.
Who wants to buy that? No one. No one wants that.
No one has 100 smithing in this world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the, I don't know, because there's a game coming out called Hatred, I think, that's supposed to be, like, just this, like, despicable game where you go around just murdering innocent people, and that's, like, the story, I guess.
Uh-huh.
It almost seems like you're just on a killing spree, like a fucking just dude who is murdering everybody. They don't even stand a chance. And I was, like, watching some of the gameplay for that, because I was like, I mean, it looks like a cool game, but what a fucking fucked up idea.
I mean, I really hope that in this case the guy is, like, a white man.
Oh, guess what? He is.
Oh, my God. Good. Thank
shocking.
God.
Yeah. No,
shocking.
Surprise.
I mean, I'm sure he just, like, has, like, he's just, like, crazy, and that's why he's doing it, right? It's not, like, you know.
I don't know. Maybe. He's got a lot of hatred, is what I know from the trailer.
Okay. He's just a nice guy. He's just misunderstood. If only women liked him more.
Oh, dear God. Yeah,
it really is funny, though, that the open-ended games are the ones where you're more likely to see, like, yourself, you know, like, evil behavior manifest, like, within yourself. I actually really loved, so I used to play The Sims all the time, and for a long time I was really focused on just, you know, being this kind of benevolent god, trying to create all these little things and houses and make them happy all the time, which is exhausting. Anyway, but then I realized it was so boring. Like, it's so much more funny when they struggle, you know? When they're, like, one of them just isn't happy, and you're like, no, you're sleeping in a reclining chair, you don't get a bed, and I'm gonna put that sad clown painting in the room so that it comes and haunts you, and your life, this is your life. Like, you I can't make all of you, like, Chelsea's already got a hot tub, you don't get one. Like, you have to go to work.
Yeah.
You have two jobs.
Oh my God.
You're not eating tonight.
Didn't you say there was some character created that was just, like, an internet troll? Like, he just got really happy.
Yes!
Insulting people.
What wonderful design, yeah. So, this was later on in the development of the, all sorts of little things, like, for, you know, they're there, and if you find them, then, yeah, awesome. but yeah, if you kind of have, like, a negative personality, and you use the internet, there's the option to troll, which is amazing. And then later, like, days later, you'll check, and if you check, and you're, like, your trolling upsets someone, it boosts your mood. But if no one responds to your trolling, it depresses you, which is genius.
Oh, that's really funny.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Man.
Really, really wonderful.
That's the game where you, the player, are the villain, really.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly. It's your choice. Precisely, yeah, like so.
You're the one introducing conflict.
Because it does. You need that sense of conflict to kind of move you forward, you know? Well, and if you're just constantly like,
I'm going to make everyone happy. Well, that was why I eventually had to delete Tiny Tower, because I just felt exhausted from restocking everything and trying to give everyone their dream job. And there was this one stupid citizen who I finally gave her dream job, and she made a post in Bitbook, which is Facebook for the bitizens who live in Tiny Tower, and she just wrote, like, yay, got my job, thumbs down, you know, like, she was, like, super bitchy about it, and I was just like, I hate this! I'm waiting for, like, I had, like, 180 floors. I finally got, like, her ice cream shop, which is where she wanted to work.
And unbelievable.
Then I was just like, you know what, no, I'm evicting you from my Tiny Towers, you suck.
That's amazing. Just because she posted something on Bitbook? Come on, Nicole.
So, I mean, like,
that's the police state we're all afraid of.
What kind of god was I in this Tiny Tower? I was one where I just wanted everyone to be sycophantic and like me.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome.
Well, we're just about out of time. Guys, thanks so much for coming on Talking Games with just Clayton, as I'm now calling it.
None of us were talking, just you.
I don't think that's true. So
you're right.
I'm going to have to ask you to not come back. Until you beat Yama, you're not allowed back on the podcast.
It is written.
It has been written.
So it is written, so it must be. That's another thing. Prophecies in games, they drive me crazy.
Yeah.
I hate them.
So many prophecies.
So many prophecies, and all the time it's like, hey, you're prophesied to, like, save the world. And it's like, oh, good, I wouldn't have done it if you hadn't fucking told me to, game.
Yeah, also there are the times where it's like, is no one else in this world, like, capable of trying to do the same thing?
Yeah.
Like, you never run into anyone else who's like you, who's like, oh my god, I better go save the world since shit's fucked right now.
That would actually be amazing. Someone needs to design a game where there are several people already trying to be heroes, and you're like, well, damn it, I don't have that sword. Someone took it already. What am I gonna do?
Yeah, no, you go through there and the boss is already beaten, and everything's looted, and you're like, I don't understand.
That would be
He just died,
amazing.
He fell off a cliff, and I need all that to get to the second world.
You play the second, like, the second guy they
follow
tap
up,
to, like, it's like, hey, in case, like, Link fucks up, you should probably just, you know, just follow right behind him, grab his shit if he does.
Deku wooden shield the whole time. Yeah. Fucked.
Yeah, you're just getting the equipment he discards.
Deku nuts.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like he drops off all of that sword making stuff with Big Goron, and then that guy comes in and is like, hey, can I just have that sword? And Big Goron's just dumb and gives it to him.
Oh, the other guy was wearing green. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't have that shit in his eyes the whole time.
Yeah, he's going bring me my eye drops. Yeah.
Amazing. All right, we do have to wrap up that. All right, so Nicole, do you have anything you want to plug?
I am doing the current season of Mint at MCL. It is very fun. So every Wednesday night through the middle of March, you can come check it out. That's very fun. And I'm also playing with Ghost Car at the Playground. We don't have any more shows this month, but in March, we're coming back.
In a big way.
In a big way. It's Ghost
you'll
Car
be hearing
gets
the
groove
name.
Back.
Going down to Jamaica.
Go to Jamaica,
Jamaica, hooking up with a younger man. That's what Ghost Car will do.
All right. Well, we all look forward to that. Seth, anything you want to plug? You didn't plug anything last time?
No,
you're shaking your head now?
Yep.
No. All right.
I'm plugging strings. Yep.
Strings ramen.
Yeah.
I hear great things about strings.
That brings us to Clayton. Do you have anything to plug?
I sure dings. Okay. Hijinks, first Saturday of the month at IO at 10:30, late 90s at 8 on Wednesday nights for, by the time this podcast out, you'll only have like another couple weeks to watch that, so check it out. And that's it. Guys, thanks again for being on the podcast, Seth Owens, and of course, Nicole Vespa.
And Clayton, do you want to take us out with one of your catchphrases?
One of my famous catchphrases?
Yes, your infamous catchphrase. This is about villains. Your infamous.
My infamous catchphrase.
Yeah, your infamous catchphrase.
Okay. Now I want to do a Dr. Claw voice from,
I think you have
from
to.
Inspector Gadget, so this will probably be hard on the listener's ears, but I'll get you next time, Seth Owens. Next time. That was Chaos Cat?
Nice. Yep, the cat.
Yeah, the cat. Anyway, bye everybody.
This has been a Nerdalogs production. For more on the Nerdalogs and our shows, please go to www.nerdalogs.com.
Thank you all. I am GrabBot23548X.